May it please the court, my name is Nancy Barron. I represent Mr. Juan Melendez, who's appealing both his convictions of drug trafficking offenses and the application of the federal sentencing guidelines to the particular facts of his case. Before I turn directly to the argument, and I know the court has read the briefs, but I just would like to point out what I think are the important facts for determining both sufficiency and the guideline sentencing issues. In this case, I think the evidence was clear and uncontroverted that Scott Vilmer had been involved in a marijuana conspiracy beginning in 1989 and ending in November of 2001 when he was arrested. I think the evidence was clear that Mr. Vilmer obtained his marijuana in Dallas, Texas, primarily from a co-conspirator, Raymond Torbellin, who was in turn supplied by other individuals over this period of time. The evidence was uncontroverted that Mr. Melendez was but one source of supply to Mr. Torbellin, and during most of the life of this conspiracy, he was probably not the greatest supplier, but dealt only with Mr. Torbellin. The conduct of those transactions is largely unrelated in the record. I think that the evidence was uncontroverted for a period of time between 1993 and 1996. Mr. Melendez and Mr. Torbellin quit dealing with each other. There was no dealing in this 2 to 3 year period of time, and that subsequently Scott Vilmer had a falling out with Mr. Torbellin and got his marijuana from 1998 until October of 2000 from other sources in Dallas, but not Mr. Melendez. And so with that sort of a background, I think the first question is, if Mr. Melendez was a conspirator in this case, when did he become so, and what was he responsible for sentencing purposes? And in this case, I think that most problematic is the district court's treatment of the drug quantity computation issue.
And the conspiracy runs from what period? Just remind me of that date again.
The Scott Vilmer conspiracy, who was the head of the organization, began in 1989. And continued until the arrest in November of 2001. Now, just to sort of add in there, I think that Mr. Torbellin testified that he was not receiving marijuana from Mr. Melendez in 1989, that this relationship developed at some other time, not set forth in the record. And so what ends up happening in this case is that the district court treats, for sentencing purposes, every single bit of marijuana that Ray Torbellin supplied to Scott Vilmer from 1989 to 2001, and then ultimately finds more than 22,000 kilograms of marijuana for sentencing purposes. And I think I've tried to set this out in the brief, but it appears to me that there are a number of places where the district court counted the same marijuana twice, and then other instances in which the trial court treated as relevant conduct quantities of marijuana, which we believe Mr. Melendez was not accountable for at sentencing. And I'd like to just enumerate those specifically. I think that Mr. Melendez was, to be sure, accountable for the marijuana in the October 2000 delivery, the January 2001 delivery, and the November 21st delivery, which comes to, I believe, to, I think, under 2,000 kilograms of marijuana. To this figure, the trial court added another 920-plus kilograms of marijuana, and it's our position that this constitutes, number one, a double counting, and number two, may include cocaine, which by all accounts Mr. Melendez was not accountable for. I think the evidence was uncontroverted that Mr. Torbellin testified that during his entire association with Scott Vilmer, that he received 7,500 pounds, or 3,402 kilos, from Mr. Melendez as the source. And so it's our position that at the very most, Mr. Melendez was accountable for approximately 5,000 kilograms of marijuana, not the 22,000 kilograms that the court ultimately found. Where a large measure of this comes in is the court found that Mr. Torbien delivered a total of 20,000 or 22,500 kilograms of marijuana to Mr. Bilmer over the life of the conspiracy. The trial court did not back out the 7,500 in the first instance, and the balance of it, it seems to me, was not part of Mr. Melendez's jointly undertaken criminal activity, that by all accounts he was not involved in for at least a period of 5 years, from 93 to 96 and from 98 to 2000. And so it seems to me that this is just sort of a classic case of adding the same marijuana over and over again. And then finally, there's the inclusion of what I call the Rene Olvera marijuana, which the court found was reasonably foreseeable as the conduct of others and the same conspiracy for including approximately another 5,000 kilograms of marijuana. And as I read, at least the cases I read of this court, the court is, number one, it cannot be counted on a reasonably foreseeable theory because it wasn't the conduct of others. At the same time, the question is, was it a collateral conspiracy? And it would be our position that the government is required to show that. The court made no effort to make that determination. And so it seems to me that there are substantial and profound problems with the manner in which the drug quantity was computed in Mr. Melendez's case. And I think, too, that, and we also raised the leader-organizer finding, and the trial court did make specific fact findings on the leader-organizer issue, and it seems to me that there's sort of a, the concern that the court is using this Rene Olvera, which we contend was a collateral conspiracy, as in large measure the factual basis for the leader-organizer finding. And I think on page 50 of my brief I set forth the court's fact findings on the leader-organizer adjustment. And these findings are that Mr. Melendez took an active part in the distribution activities of the conspiracy. And I don't think there's any evidence in the record to show that Mr. Melendez had any role whatsoever in the distribution aspect of Bilmer's organization. That he gave instructions to others, and a number of individuals are described there, but those individuals include Rene Olvera, who we suggest was in a collateral conspiracy, Sylvia Cruz, who's identified in this record only as a neighbor of Mr. Melendez, Solomon Rosales, who I think defense counsel argued in the court below was a partner and not a worker for Mr. Melendez, and then finally that Mr. Melendez handed off physical labor to others and that he tallied the marijuana total. And so it seems to me that these findings, once again, are sort of based upon the trial court's decision to include this Rene Olvera collateral conspiracy in raising Mr. Melendez's offense level by 4 points. And while I'm thinking about it, I just want to point out one other error. It's not listed here in the brief, but in rereading the sentencing record last night, the trial court made a fact finding that Mr. Olvera participated with Mr. Torbien and Mr. Melendez in counting money, and that's not the case. The only contact at all Mr. Olvera testified to was on one occasion in the mid-90s going over to Mr. Torbien's house where Mr. Melendez received
were these,
money from him.
Were these discrepancies brought to the attention of the district court?
Not in the detail that we have set them out in the brief. I do know that the drug quantity was objected to, and I would say that I thought this particular drug quantity computation was incredibly difficult.
But you there was an objection made, and I understand the PSR computed these differently.
Correct. Yes.
Was the objection made to the PSR?
I think it was a total drug quantity, and I know that he specifically objected to the Rene Olvera marijuana, that there was some discussion back and forth, and the court said, well, you know, this is part of the same conspiracy. So that's, I know that he objected generally to drug quantity. I have talked to him. I think that he was confused by the way it was set out in the report, but I know that he objected to the overall quantity determination.
But perhaps not to the specific...
not as precisely as set out in the brief. So it was an extremely difficult and challenging computation in my view, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear it out for Mr. Frederick. Frederick, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. Unfortunately, I need to bring to the court's attention a mistake I made in the brief, which is contrary to the government's position, and that's on page 16. This is a very factual-driven case, or at least the argument is, and on page 16 of the brief, in the large paragraph, I say, Melendez sold over 3,700 pounds directly to Vilmer and was caught delivering over 800 more pounds to him. That's a double counting of that 800 pounds. And I apologize to the court and I apologize to counsel. I did not catch that mistake until I reread the brief this weekend.
How should that sound?
He sold a total of 3,700 pounds.
Striking.
He struck the 800 pounds, Your Honor. And if I may, to support the district court's finding, that paragraph does contain the various amounts. Raymond Torbellin, as he pronounced his name, testified that he bought 7,500 pounds from Melendez that he sold to Scott Vilmer, as well as storing another 1,500 pounds for Melendez. Now that's 9,000 pounds, and one of the complicating factors is under the guidelines you have to convert it to kilograms, but that's 4,090, and the magic number here is 10,000. Rene Olvera was Melendez's brother-in-law who was serving time, having been caught driving a load of approximately 2,000 pounds. Not even including that 2,000 pounds, Olvera testified that he drove 10 loads for at Melendez's direction. Nine of those loads, there was 1,000 pounds, but one load, there was 1,800 pounds, which was a total of 10,800 pounds. Counsel's arguing that should not be included. Well, it's Juan Melendez selling those drugs, and it should be included. Yes, that is his relevant conduct. So that's another 10,800 pounds, or 4,909 kilograms. And then we have, and this is where this, the 3,700 pounds that Melendez sold directly to Scott Vilmer. And this 3,700 pounds came in three distinct and very specific deals. In September, late September of the year 2000, and we know the time because of hotel records, Vilmer got a call from Torbellin saying, Juan Melendez is in Indianapolis. He's got some marijuana he wants to sell to you. I'm in St. Louis. Will you meet me over here? They meet the next day. Melendez shows up with Salman Rosales, and the marijuana is at a traffic stop in Highland, Illinois, approximately 35 or 40 miles from St. Louis, and it is ultimately taken to a home in Cahokia, broken down. It's being driven by two Mexicans, obviously employed by Mr. Melendez, who do not speak English. There's an English-speaking person who we know only as Donzo, who's also Hispanic but does speak English, who directs them. And there's about 1,300 pounds. 400 plus of that pound is bad. Ultimately, Wilmer contacts Melendez, says this is bad, and Melendez sends Salomon Rosales and Donzo back up to take it back to Indianapolis, so about 400 pounds. But that's 1,300 pounds. The next load is in January of 2001, approximately 4 months later, and Juan Melendez and Solomon Rosales show up with a semi-tractor trailer driven by a truck driver, and that is taken to an old warehouse, transferred to a U-Haul truck, and taken to Scott Vilmer's clubhouse in Granite City, where it is broken down. At that time, Melendez directs his workers to help them break it down. He doesn't do anything but tally, and that's 1,600 pounds. So with the 1,300 from September and the 1,600 there, it's 29. And the final 800, 2,900 pounds. And the final 800 pounds comes in November of 2001, and they're caught. They're caught with that because by that time, the DEA had an informant into the Vilmer group, and they're caught red-handed, and there's another 800 pounds, and that's a total of 3,700 pounds that came directly from Melendez to Vilmer. And that is 1,681, giving a total of 10,630 kilograms, which is the category Judge Steele found that he was in a 10,000 to 30,000 kilogram category.
How much did the judge find?
The judge found more than that. The judge found substantially more than that because the judge counted all of the marijuana through the conspiracy. The government's argument is that these three mounts alone, which are clearly, which the judge found, were attributable to Melendez. The Torbellon, he talks on page 30 of the sentencing transcript, he acknowledges that amount. The Overa, he acknowledges on page 31, and the direct sales from Melendez to Vilmer, he acknowledges at pages 29 to 30 of the sentencing transcript. Those amounts alone get you over the threshold. And that's the government's argument. Those amounts alone.
Where did the judge sentence him within the range?
He sentenced him almost, actually, the range that the judge found ultimately was 294, I believe, to 362, and he sentenced him to 300 months. Excuse me, it was 292 to 367. And he sentenced him to 300 months, just a little bit above the low end of the range. Actually, if you would drop it down a range, the top end would be 292. But the government's position is just those three amounts alone gets you over.
Let me understand you. Even if they hadn't reached the 10,000 kilo, that range would put you in a sentencing range which of
8 months less, Your Honor.
8 months less.
Yes. But it's the government's position, there's more than ample evidence to get to support the judge's finding at 10,000. And the judge himself acknowledges that these amounts are attributable to Melendez. He does go ahead and go and talk further in the conspiracy, and I do believe, I will concede that I do believe there is a double counting. Just as I counted that 800 pounds seized in November of 2001 twice, I think the judge did also in his findings because he found a total of 440-some kilograms seized. That includes that 362. There were actually three seizures of marijuana, primary seizures of marijuana in this case, but that November of 2001 marijuana, which was 360-some kilograms, I think the judge did double count.
So that amount should be what for that November seizure?
Well, it is 800 pounds, Your Honor, or 360-some.
369.9.
Right.
And you're saying that's accurate.
That is accurate, Your Honor. And it is obviously attributable to Melendez. They went down to Dallas. Melendez actually accompanied the load back up here, and we have his tally sheet where they weighed it out in this barn where they were storing it. The mistake I made in my brief is double counting it in the amount he sold to Vilmer, and I believe the mistake Judge Steele made is he counted it as amount sold to Vilmer, but he also counted it in total amount seized from the Vilmer organization.
Okay, so it should be canceled out, so either that 10,227 figure would be different on the amount Torbellon sold with Vilmer.
No, the amount Torbellon sold is accurate, Your Honor.
That's accurate. Well, so the fees from Vilmer during the life of the conspiracy, it would be taken from that amount.
Right.
So it would be 441.
Minus the 369.9. Leaving approximately 80 kilograms, which was seized, and actually that was seized in 1994.
And that still kicks him over into that.
Even without that 84-pound seized, he's kicked over just by the amount. The three amounts I've indicated in that paragraph on page 16 of my brief. He gets over that. As I said, this was a very factual, and as you can just tell from these various transactions, these were dealing in large amounts of marijuana that Mr. Melendez was arranging for. In the first, again, was just the loads that he arranged for selling directly to Scott Vilmer. On the very first load, you have some Hispanic drivers or Mexican drivers who don't speak English. You have Solomon Rosales, who meets with them in the hotel room in St. Louis and is directed by Melendez to take them out to this truck stop near Highland, Illinois to get the load. And Rosales speaks English. And then out there was also this other fellow who spoke English, Sanzo. When Vilmer complained that 400 pounds of this 1,300-pound load was bad, or 400-plus, Danzo and Rosales come up, pick it up in a pickup truck, take it back to Indianapolis. The next load is in January of 2001, and again, Danzo's there, and Solomon Rosales is there, and you also have a driver of a semi-tractor-trailer where the marijuana is hidden in. Again, these are all at Melendez's direction. And then in the 2001 November load that they were caught on, you have two people, co-defendants Pablo Navarro and Fidel Trevino, who come up with Melendez and at Melendez's direction in the farmhouse in Illinois help unload the marijuana while Melendez is counting. The Sylvia Cruz comes in because after the late September, early October 2000 load and the January 2001 load, Vilmer, as part of the payment, which he does on credit to Melendez, sells him vehicles. Vilmer also had vehicles. One of the co-defendants was Midwest Motors, and Melendez has Vilmer title of vehicle in the name of Sylvia Cruz, obviously, or the inference would be to hide the ownership of them. So there's another person involved. Clearly, this is an extensive conspiracy, and Melendez clearly is an organizer and leader, and there are easily five or more people, but there doesn't even have to be five people or more. This is not a CCE, continuing criminal enterprise. All it has to be is otherwise extensive. And clearly, when you're involving tractor trailers, it's going to be very extensive. The same evidence obviously militates that Juan Melendez is guilty, and there was sufficient evidence to find him guilty of the conspiracy. Again, I would like to reiterate, though, that just the judge's findings can be sustained just with those three amounts: the amount sold to Torbellin and stored by Torbellin, the amount that Rene Overa transported for him, and the amount directly sold to Vilmer, none of which overlap, and that easily gets him over 10,000 kilograms. If there are any questions, court, I would answer them. Otherwise, I thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Friedrich. You have 4 minutes, counsel.
We really have no dispute with the 2000-2001 transactions, and that comes to 1,687.8 kilograms. When the 7,500 total pounds is added that Mr. Melendez had provided over the life of this organization is added, that's another 3,402 kilograms, which brings it just slightly over 5,000 kilograms total. If the 1,500 pounds is added to that, which converts to approximately 680.4 kilograms, then the total would be 5,770.2 kilograms. The only way you can get over 10,000 kilograms is to add the Rene Olvera marijuana. It was objected to at trial as a separate conspiracy, but it was found by the court here to be relevant conduct on the grounds, number one, that it was part of the same conspiracy, the same Vilmer organization, which we suggest the record just does not support. There is no overlap. And secondly, that this over 4,000 kilograms was reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Melendez. And in essence, and expressly the court found, I think this was part of the overall conspiracy with which Mr. Melendez was involved and was convicted of. And so it seems to me that at the very least, the Rene Olvera marijuana, leaving aside the additional 10,000 kilograms that was included in here and made a probably had a profound effect upon the trial court's sentencing decision. I mean, a 22,500 kilogram conspiracy is a serious case, and I'm sure that it, you know, Mr. Melendez was a first offender. I'm sure it weighed heavily on the court's decision where to sentence him within the range. But it seems to me that the Rene Olvera conspiracy is assuredly not part of this conspiracy, and to the extent that the trial court found that, it misapplied the law to the facts of the case. And inasmuch as even under the government's argument that we're just, you know, on the cusp of a 10,000 kilogram conspiracy and can only even remotely get there by adding the Rene Olvera conspiracy, we suggest this should be remanded to the district court for new findings of fact so that a fair determination of Mr. Melendez's sentence can be made. And if there are no additional questions, I thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. The next case.